listeners, and welcome to another footnote episode of the Fantasy Animation Podcast. I'm Alex Sargent.
And I'm Chris Holliday.
Chris, we've had another email from another...
What, that's two? That's two emails.
We might even have more than two, but but we'll do our second one as a footnote. So thank you, Idris, for emailing us in. I know nothing about any of what Idris is about to talk about. In fact, I don't really understand many of the words Idris is using. That is not a slight at Idris. This is a slight at me for not knowing anything about this topic. Luckily, I've got you here to help me through it. So I'm taking on very much the audience's role here for people who've never heard of this term before. But Idris emails and says, I'd be very curious to hear a footnote episode about a term called multiplanarity. He says he's read a book called by a person called Lemaire, or Lemaire. Chris can clarify in a minute. The anime machine, which uses the concept of multiplanarity of layered images to analyse anime. And I'm wondering what other writing on this is particularly useful or important. So obviously this is a term used to describe anime. I've heard of that. It comes from a book by someone I've not heard of. Perhaps I probably should have. But Chris, over to you. Could you explain from the beginning, what does multiplanarity mean? Start with that.
Okay. So multiplanarity is, you will, when we start talking about the multiplane camera, you will have heard of the term, because I think outside of animation, outside of this podcast, we can think about multiple planes of action. So if you think about the theatre, you have the foreground, you maybe have your couple middle grounds, and then you have your background, your painted backgrounds. So if you think about that idea of space and spatial arrangement, that gets us a little bit into the idea of there being multiple planes of action.
Sure.
Idris's email is talking specifically about the anime machine, so Thomas Lemaire's book. It's a book on anime, which you said you've heard of.
I've heard of anime, I've heard of theatre, and I've heard of the multiplane camera, actually. So far, so good for me.
Yes. So it comes from, the idea of multiplanarity comes from Tom Lemaire's writing on technology, but technology in relation to kind of a historical overview of anime and its specific techniques. And he argues in The Anime Machine, and he also argues in an earlier article in a journal, Macademia, that animation works with technology. You know, it is a technology of representation. It works with technology. And as you hopefully will have listened to some of our previous episodes, talking through various ways in which there are technological moments within the development of animation as a medium. I'm talking about you, not you, Alex, you, the listeners.
Yes.
I hope you've listened to the podcast.
I don't care for it.
Sure. No.
Too long-winded.
No, I like the ones about Bake Off.
Yes.
But he also argues that the animation, and specifically anime, kind of thinks about technology. And he argues, and I think this is quite interesting, he begins actually with an analogy of the train window. So when you look out of a train, as a train is hurtling past, you have the foreground, the middle ground, and the background, and they all run at different speeds. The foreground is really quick, and then the background, the landscapes, move a lot slower. And he talks about this in terms of a screen. He says there's a kind of ballistic system. If you look out of the window and you think about movement and you think about speed, foreground, middle ground, and background moves at different speeds. And he said speed is the thing that's dividing the landscape into different planes. So
on the train, just to make sure I'm still on board.
Yep.
On the train, it feels like you're not moving really at all. But if you look outside, you can see rapid movement. So there's that sense of dislocation between the foreground and the background, so to speak.
Well, but also things in the foreground. So if you look immediately out of a train window, look down at the tracks, they're hurtling along. You look a bit further away and the trees, 20 metres, are moving slightly less. And then you look at the horizon line and it's barely moving at all.
Great, okay, so, interesting. Yeah. Right, this is
so
interesting.
So he says, multiplanarity is a way of thinking about that arrangement of space. And he kind of uses that to then talk about the specific way in which space is created in anime films. And he says, unlike the sort of sophisticated three-dimension, well, not sophisticated, but unlike what he calls the hyper three-dimensionality of digital animation. And I think Tom Brown, in a blog post for our website, has talked about what he calls an intensified mise-en-scene. Everything is so organized and so precise that there's a sort of hyper three-dimensionality to it. Lemaire argues that actually anime often delights in incorrect geometric perspectives, because similar to the way that different planes of action outside of a train window move at different speeds, what happens when you look out the train window is that everything feels very flat, and you have things, there's no sense of depth, you just have different planes of action moving at different speeds. So he's like, speed, 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 that is the multiplanar image, because we're having these, there's not a realism of depth, but rather a realism of movement. Things are moving slowly rapidly in the foreground and very slowly in the background, and it's that realism of movement that creates a sort of multiplanar image. So that's the initial pitch.
Interesting. So anime, make sure I've got this right, anime delights in subverting the train paradigm that you've set up.
Well, no. Anime delights in using the train paradigm.
Right.
Because the train window paradigm is not a realistic... It's realistic in terms of its movement, but if you actually look at the different planes of action, there's a weird kind of flattening of all these different planes because of the fact they're moving at different speeds. You don't get a sense of depth. There's no realism of depth. There's a realism of movement. And so what looking out the train window does, it takes a three-dimensional landscape and flattens it into three different planes or four different planes or five different planes that are different because of their movements and because of their speed.
I see, because in life there aren't sharp distinctions between the planes, but anime likes to create...
Yeah.
Just anime like makes it into a pop-up book or like there are three or four layers of action where speeds are intensified and changed, and it's that fun dynamic that it plays with.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. So Idris wants to know what else there is beyond Lamar's book. What could we do with this term other than how Lamar treats it?
Well, I will just very, very quickly, I will return to Lamar, because Lamar then says, of course, depth and dimension are things that are, because of the way that animation is all about building worlds, he sort of says, well, of course you get people like Walt Disney going, well, if people, one of the ways that they're going to engage with animation is through, in Disney's idea, through kind of realism and verisimilitude, we need to solve this flattening. We need to make it, and of course, and this is where the multiplane camera comes in, and this is like Lamar's next bit of the chapter, that of course if you just stack cells on top of each other and then just move a camera, there's no sense of depth, because if you're just moving the camera in, everything's getting bigger in the same scale. So of course the idea of the multiplane camera, which Lamar also suggests, obviously we know that Disney, you know, it's tied to Disney history, but that's not to say that Disney
just to say
it.
For audience's sake, obviously, because even we'd mentioned this quite a lot, and just to really clarify, if people don't know what we're talking about, the multiplane camera is this invention.
Yep.
It's not invented by Disney, is it? Or there's a lot of dispute over that, but it's sort of popularized by Disney, and it's literally like it's got a vertical tower, right?
Yeah.
Where different cells are put in them, so they can have the mountains in the background, the something else in the foreground, and it creates that sense of depth rather than it looking like a shallow picture. If people Google Disney multiplane tower, you will see this quite impressive structure of a tower, because it's not just one, two, three layers on a desk. We're talking like an entire office block kind of building around this big, long, vertical contraption, so people can see up the different layers.
Yeah, and he actually says, as so many animation historians have said, and as you have just said, that Disney kind of patterns it and popularizes it, but there are evidences of this, of course, with Lottie Reiniger, German filmmaker. Yeah. And also, he says, if you go back through anime history, you see you see different or earlier versions of this kind of technique. So he's almost saying that anime has always been interested in depth, and kind of playing with that.
So yeah, we've only got a few minutes left, so let's get beyond Lamar now if we can.
Okay, so there are people that are thinking through animation space, and in fact these probably serve as the references in terms of the people to kind of read. So there are people, so Ala Garasik has written about tracing the multiplane in an article from 2021 towards the genealogy of animation apparatuses, and basically says, you know, that there is such a thing as multiplane animation. Animation has always been interested in depth and dimension, and even if anime itself is something that enjoys the flattening of different planes, and Disney is pioneering a multiplane camera to erase that, to create a kind of verisimilitude quality to animation space. Animation is always interested in depth and dimension, whatever. And so there's a kind of industrial, practical apparatus history of this. And then there are people like Eilish Wood in an article, Reanimating Space, and J.P. Talot in a chapter from his book. Eilish's Wood's chapter is Reanimating Space, and Talot's book is called Animating Space, and there is a chapter on Disney Pixar as well. So this idea of multiplanarity that begins with Lamar thinking through anime and the slippages between different planes of action is something that is then taken up by people like Eilish Wood to talk about animation's use of space, space that collapses in on itself, and then through people like Talot, and I would say Tom as well, Tom Brown writing on Pixar, the way that there is this sort of intensified interest in the spatial qualities of animation to create this sort of illusion of depth. And it's sort of new ways of thinking about animation realism, that it's the way that we register space through different perspectives to make sure horizon lines and things like this are all sort of in tune, but we engage with the world through different planes of action. Yeah. in all and space in lots and lots of different ways, and there can be really interesting ways in which space can be composed and then sort of almost decomposed within animation.
It sounds like, but correct me if I'm wrong, that quite a lot of these debates are back to things we always touch on the podcast, which is like, is fantasy animation, and by extension fantasy, is it meant to try, is verisimilitude a virtue in these places, or should these things, by the very nature of not being real life, aim at something a bit more expressionistic or painterly or pictorial or things like that? I mean, I remember our endless conversations of things like, you know, following the rat in Ratatouille running around a kitchen, and the idea that both fantasy animation can make space emotional rather than kind of geographical. It can be about what's felt in space, and like, you know, we've talked about it from the child's perspective, all this sort of stuff. It sounds like multiplanarity might be another way of thinking about the way we as humans code the world and organize it into planes, then how animation can either try to replicate that or try to do something different with it.
Yeah, and how, I suppose, if it's about mobility, our mobility through different kinds of real space, and then how that is translated into certain kinds of animated examples, I think it's obviously important that Lamar is dealing with anime and other writers are dealing with kind of popular Hollywood cinema, because there's obviously a kind of national quality. You know, people writing about space talk about kind of a poetics of, say, Chinese animation, which thinks about space in very different ways. If we think about kind of scrolls and manuscripts, and so these are all sort of nationally specific and culturally specific treatments of space. The way that there are space can be mobilized and expanded and formed and digitized, but multiplanarity gets us thinking about the different ways that animation space is composed in different ways and are registering of that space on film.
I think that'll do us. I mean, there's been some references there. Obviously, Lamar's book, The Anime Machine, sounds like a key cornerstone, but there's some other references in the podcast people can listen back to. Thanks, Idris, for the email. That was really interesting to learn, actually. So thank you on my behalf, but also on the behalf of the listener. If you have your own suggestion for a footnote episode, you can, of course, email us, just like Idris did. Oh, I feel like an actual radio host saying that. Yeah, but fananim research, fananim research@gmail.com. Send us an email with a suggestion for a footnote. And who knows, we might use it in a future episode.
Yeah.
Otherwise, thanks very much, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.